We're going all the way back. Come all the way to where we are. Pretty much. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, we're ready. Okay. All right. So as we get ready for final exam, so everybody's focusing in. Now, the holidays is coming, so you're thinking about the shopping. So well, tune in. Stay focused for that exam coming up. It's going to be a big test, so just meditate on your quizzes you already had, the exams you already done gone through. All the answers are going to be right there. So no try to trick nobody. It's going to be exactly what you saw, exactly what you studied. So it's not going to be no trying to trick you with stuff, you know. So it'll be easy. Okay, so let's get started. Let me give you the five questions you're going to need tonight and answers you're going to need for the quiz on this week so we can get ready for that. On page 126, called to be rulers. Called to be rulers. Page 126, called to be rulers. We're going to read that first paragraph because I want you to get the essence of where we're headed in this next phase of understanding the culture, the mindset of the culture. We understood it from the spiritual perspective that we deal with love, we deal with forgiveness, that we are not judgers, but we are to walk in compassion with our brothers and sisters. We learned that in our first part, 1-4. But now he's switching in chapter 5. He's dealing with the mindset, you know, dealing with us not on the spiritual side, but living here on earth, ruling on earth, how we rule here for the heavenly agenda, with the heavenly mindset. And that because we are in a natural, physical, tangible world in a society, the church must rule economically, not only rule spiritually in the heavenlies, in its spiritual things and moral ways of living, but he's talking about we also rule financially. And to rule financially, he is saying that we have to have a correct mindset. See, poverty is never a money issue. Poverty is always a mind issue. It's the mindset. It's how a man thinketh. And the Bible says a man thinketh, so is he. So if you can change your thinking, you can change your world. You can change your economic status. You see, everything is changeable, but depending on how you think and how you see it would determine it. So this is what he's dealing with. So let's begin the reading here in Proverbs 28:16 that says, a ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. So he makes a statement here, so you can underline that Proverbs 28:16 as our meditation scripture, as a meditation scripture. So he goes on and switches to pretty much paraphrase the scripture. He said, let me state it this way. A prince who does not see himself as a benefactor will punish others with his power. But he who hates gain by violence or controlling others will build a lasting legacy. When a prince thinks like a pauper, he lives like a powerful survivalist. And so the first question and answer is, when a prince thinks like a pauper, he lives like a powerful survivalist. Make that number one, because I want you to see that, because we learn from our culture, even in the economic state of our life, why we think the way we think about money, why we handle money the way we handle money. And so it sets a mindset within us, even from childhood, we was taught certain values about money and certain fears about money. And without having new information or a mindset change about wealth or money, we'll continue to have those same values in our adult life. And we'll pass those values on to our children's children. You know, and it's like what Apostle taught us about health. He says the reason why pretty much everybody in the family had a high blood pressure or heart problem is because we all ate the same stuff. Right. Well, the same reason in poverty. We have a financial situation because we all was taught the same principles about money. You know, we ain't rich. Money don't grow on trees. You know, all the little principles, you know, those type of things. Get all you can all you get. You know, those principles, you know, grandma used to tie her money up in a handkerchief and it took about 5 minutes to get it loose because she had about 3 knots in it. You know, they done stuff like that. And so we learned as kids watching those things, and so we practiced the things we saw. Yeah, right. And so a lot of times we struggled financially because of those principles. But thank God for enlightenment and revelation, which bringing us out of those situations of thinking. So therefore, most people will live their lives as survivalists. But we want to help you get away from that mindset of being a survival. Mm-hmm. We don't survive, we thrive. You see, we live on top, going higher, and we're speeding up. Yes. And that's the kind of mindset the kingdom people have to have. You know, no matter where you're at financially right now, no matter what your checkbook look like or what your bank account look like, it's your mindset that's going to change your whole economic situation. Your status is going to change because of what you think and how you speak and control yourself in those areas. Number two, second paragraph, it said the pauper learns one powerful lesson in life. And that is how to stay alive on this planet. That's the thing a survivalist understand is survival, how to stay alive on this planet. You know, always strapping, always hustling. You know, and that Apostle Thompson kind of mentioned tonight that as pastors, we in ministry, a lot of time we're hustlers. We're trying to survive instead of thriving in ministry, knowing that our source, who is God, the kingdom, has more than enough that will never run out. Amen. You know, and until we get that revelation that the money will never run out, there's always going to be more than enough, you know, until we get that revelation, then we won't start hoarding up finances. Amen. And being stingy and being tight, even in giving or going after the things we dream or desire to have in life. Or saying, well, that costs too much to do that. But see, that's a survivalist mindset. Because a person who understands wealth, understands the kingdom of God, and that God is our provider, he's our source, understand that there's nothing we cannot have. Amen. There's nothing we cannot have. You know, an apostle taught us the principle that when we see something that we don't have the money immediately to get, always say to, I'll be back. Always put that in your mind, I'll be back to get it. And that's how you got to have your mindset. If not, you'll never enjoy the full benefits of being a child of the Most High God. If you get that survival mindset, it's too much. I can't afford that. I never have that. I never live that type of way. You know, that's for other people, not for me. You know, I get caught up in the social thing about your skin tone. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not for us. And that's something we do, you know, because we learn that from our society. We learn that from our environment. You got to get beyond that kind of identity. I try to use it as your identity. Right. Get away from that. That's not you. You're bigger than that. You're bigger than that. You're bigger than your surroundings. You're bigger than your community. Yes. You know, and you got to get a glimpse on the other side of it. Yes. Expose yourself to the other side of where you are now and realize that's another level. Yes. That's another level. And people are living this way every day. Yes. There are people who are taking 30-day vacations every year. Yes. You know, and they're not using Saturday and Sunday as a vacation. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what poor people do. You know, we're going on vacation. I'll be back Monday. Well, you just left Friday. Saturday and Sunday's awards. You're not working anyway. So how is that a vacation? You know, but that's the mindset we use. You know, but there are people who live in this life every day dealing with buying planes, buying yachts, buying mansions every day. But because we're not exposed, a lot of times we're not exposed to that type of lifestyle or see it happening, you know, so we always think the norm, that this is the norm for me, just a 2-bedroom house and, you know, live whatever in the hood or wherever we live in and we're going to be all right. No, you got to get away from dodging bullets and hitting the floor, you know. We got to go to the next level. You got to go to the next level. It's not okay. It's not okay. All right. So number two, understand that we're not survivalists. Okay. So we're not going to think like a pauper and learn one powerful lesson in life. And that is how to stay alive on this planet. No, we're not going to live like that. We're going to thrive. Amen. in our lifestyle. Amen. This is what he says also, I thought was very important, worth noting, coming out of the same paragraph. He says the socioeconomic worldview of the poor is completely defined and governed by the fear of running out of their daily supply of resources. And that's the poor. They think about running out. And it's a great fear in society. Because the older you get, if you have not established yourself, one of your greatest fears is not having enough. What am I going to do at 59? What am I going to do at 60, at 65? You know, am I going to be able to retire? So there's a fear that goes on in society. And so a lot of people go back to never retiring or going back to other jobs. They want to get this 30-year work on this job. They go find another job because they don't have enough. And it's the fear of running out. It's the fear of running out. So now we got a lot of senior citizens who are still working. Why? Because my check is not enough to even pay my insurance. So I got to keep working just to pay my insurance. You know, having some kind of benefit coming in. And that's because of the fact we was taught certain principles in life coming up, and we were just looking for, I'm 30 years of retirement, work 30 years and get a retirement. But retirement ain't enough for you to live the lifestyle you really want to live. Amen. You know, so you just got to get that out of your mind about retirement. It just ain't going to be enough. It's not going to be enough, you know, to take care of you the way you want to live. Absolutely. You know. So you got to put yourself in the mindset that God is my source, that God is going to give me power to get wealth. And because of that, God gave me witty inventions, ideas. I have a skill. I have a vision. I have a passion on the inside of me that I can work and create a job, a business for myself and get rid of the middleman and have an income for myself. See, the same skill you're using to take care of somebody else's dream is the same skill you can use to put on your dream and live big and live large. And live large. They're paying us a few dollars to sow our dreams away. Right. No, you got to get out of that. I'm going to be my own boss, have my own job, work my own schedules. You got to put that mindset in place now. You know, and know that God will give you power to get wealth. Money is moving every day past your life, down your street every day. You just got to get in position to stop at my address. It's okay to give my neighbor some, but stop at mine too. You know. So you got to get that mindset that's going on in our life. Okay, this is what he says here. And when you know, and when you're through someone who has been trained to survive a recording deal or a professional sport contract or a winning lottery ticket, he becomes a super survivor. Because he's been trained to think a certain way, that money is going to run out. So he's thinking about survival instead of being a benefactor, that God has blessed me to be a blessing. And if you're a blessing, then God always have money to come back to you. You know, because the Bible said there's a man who withholds more than he ought and attends to his poverty. When God is telling you to give and you're holding back instead of giving, the Bible said what you got in your hand is going to dry up. It's going to dry up, and now you're going to be sure enough survivalist, you know. But if you learn to be a giver, then the world will give back to you what's rightfully yours. Amen. It'll give it back to you, okay? So we have to understand those concepts in life. So I am a blessed person going about to be a blessing to somebody else. Okay, so number three is the next paragraph that says, as believers, we are all in danger of being princes who think and live like paupers. You see, if we don't understand, if we don't have the understanding, we're going to be just like princes. We have, God has given us his ability. God has given us an anointing. Jesus Christ has paid, gave him his life to pay for us to live the good life. Even though we know that information exists, but because if we don't understand who we are in that information or that importation that's on our life, then we live like a survivalist. Blessed, but we're stingy, we're tight, we're grabbing everything we get and trying to keep it and save it and save it and save it and save it. And but more you keep, it's okay to save for a goal or a vision or a plan you got lined up, but to be a hoarder, just putting money back and never investing it or making it work for you, it's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. You got money, but you're too stingy to spend it because you think it's going to run out if I take $10 out of it. You know, just being tight. Just being tight. And so, therefore, it's a mindset has to change. The mindset has to change. You know, it's okay to go to the dollar store to get toothpaste or some kitchen appliances, not appliances, but detergent or whatever. You know, that's okay to do that, but not when you go get your clothes. You know, when you start shopping clothes in those dollar stores, then it's a whole different mindset going on. You know? It's just a mindset. It's the mindset, and we can look at it from the, that's why he's going to talk about. Let me get over here. I'm on number 5. If I get to number 3, I gave you number 3, right? Okay. Number 4. Let's go to number 4. That said, poverty, middle class, and wealth, and I just tie that right back into the statement I just made. He deal with three lenses, three types of lenses that we look through life at, and we are measured by in our socioeconomic status. Because it has a lot to do with our mindset. Our income has a lot to do with our mindset. Our wealth possession or what we make put us in a mindset of way of thinking about the social status of our life, where we fit, where we fit. I mean, if you're making, I was reading a stat this morning that those who are making at least $21,000 a year is poverty level. Even at $21,000, you still consider as poverty. So you're talking about poverty, middle class, and wealth, and the wealthy. Okay? So therefore, anything over that 21 or above that is considered probably middle class until you get over to the wealthy where you're over in the 500,000, the millions. Then you're talking about the wealthy class. In the billions, those are the wealthy class. You know, that's only the 2% that's in that class, the billionaire status. And so in the millionaire status, and these are the people who really control and run things, make rules that they want us to live by so they can control us. But we got to get out of that boat. We got to get out of that boat, you know, and get to the place of understanding that I'm not in poverty. I can change my social status. Even if I'm there, I can change it. I can change it by educating myself, by getting knowledge and wisdom and understanding. I can change my situation, you know, so I don't have to stay there. And I can go to middle class and I can go on to the wealthy. But he said these three lenses we look through is a lens of poverty, the lens of the middle class, and the lens of wealthy. That's in that same paragraph that we just started about. We are all constrained by the class view that we review in our father's house. So Miller ways through there, you'll see where he's talking about the lens of the poverty, the lens of the middle class, and the lens of the wealthy. That's number 4 about those three classes. There may be a true and false or a multiple choice question that comes into that. But you need to know that these are the three lenses we look at out of. It's a lens of the poor, poverty or the poor, the middle class, and the wealthy. In the wealthy. And see, the more you get this revelation in you, then when you start riding down the street and dealing with people, your mind is going to start being able to picture every class, how people think, how people act, why people do what they do, why they act the way they act. You know, it's because of the mindset, you know, and also because of their wealth income area, you know, where there's poverty, you have a lot of crime because people are stealing from each other trying to survive. It's a survival state, you know, and that's why, you know, when people rise up out of poverty through wealth contracts or business or however God bless them, through those areas, they move out of those communities, you know, and it's rightfully to move out. It's not bad to leave out of the community because the mindset of the community is we're going to steal your hubcaps. we're going to get something, you know, because that's what we do. That's what we do in this community, because it's the mindset of the community, you know. And so, therefore, if you stay there, then you're subject to be attacked. You're a target. You're a target, you know. And so, therefore, that's why they move out to a society where there are policemen or fenced-in community, because, in fact, their economic status has changed. And so, therefore, they really got to protect what they have. That's their investment now. They're protected. So it's not bad to move out into a better community because wealth gives you that opportunity to a better life, a better lifestyle. So God bless you. We'll take it. Don't take it. Don't let people put that guilt trip on you. You got to not look at you. You raised up in this community all your life. Yeah, look at me cross that fence. Yeah. Yeah. I've been working to get out of here. That's what I've been working for. Okay, so get those three things in mind. That's number four. Number five, we're moved to page 129, where Dr. Ruby K. Payne shares a framework of understanding poverty. The framework of understanding poverty. This the mindset of how poor people think, how the middle class think, and how the wealthy think. And again, poverty is not a financial situation. Poverty is a thinking situation. It's a thinking situation. So if you change your thinking, you change your world. All the time. It does it all the time. You know, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some sacrifices. But if you put them in practice as a lifestyle, it changes your life. It changes your life forever. You'll never go back to that place again. But you got to change it up here. You got to change it up here. Okay, this is what she says in her framework. She uses first possessions. And she goes across there. She says the poverty, the middle class, and the wealthy. Across the top there, okay, on page 129. And it says, let's talk about possessions. How do poor think? What do the poor think about possessions? They think about people. The poor sees people as possessions. It's where we rule, we dominate, we pretty much shelter each other, and almost got us to the point where we can't see one do more better than the other. You're right, like crabs in a barrel. Exactly. The time somebody rises up, we pull them down and try to belittle them, put them a self-condemnation, a guilt trip on them. So they won't rise up and get out of status and see, because we're all in the same barrel of poverty together, we have control of each other. But if you get out, I can't control you no longer. You see? And that's why it's so good to educate yourself and get connected to people who are already out. So that gravity can pull you out of there because they think different. You think different. When people cannot no longer control you, they have a problem with you. You know, and that can be family members, relatives, people you grew up to go to school with, people in the neighborhood, next door neighbors, you know, because you're socially economy, you're getting yourself out of that, you're empowering yourself to be better and do better, and therefore they don't cannot control you, keep you in the neighborhood no longer. It's a problem. It's a problem. And so that's another point that we deal with in the economic status change, too, is competitiveness. You see, that can become among the brothers and sisters even, and cousins. You become competitive. You know, when one start doing better than the other, well, I get a Lexus, you got to go get you a Mercedes. You know, whatever, we got to keep competing against each other. And that's why we can't get out, because we have a competitive spirit. We have a competitive spirit, you know. But you got to understand, we're not here to compete with each other. We're here to complement each other. To make each other, empower each other to be better. Okay, to empower each other to be better. You want your brother and sister to do better in life, and you want to be a part of that empowerment, okay, and not their downfall. So poverty people, in poverty see people as their possessions. The middle class see things as their possession. So they figure that things help identify them, so they're always gathering things to identify them. He said, but to the wealthy, to the wealth class, he says, one of a kind. Objects, pedigree, legacy. That's what the wealthy think about possessions. I need to leave a legacy. You know, inheritance. The Bible says a good man leave an inheritance for his children's children. So you're thinking about leaving an inheritance all the time. So all their skill, their ability, their work is to gather to leave an inheritance. So the next generation be better than they were, than what they were. And that's how you got to think about it, too. That everything I do is for the future generation of my children, my grandchildren, and those God want me to bless. Yes, got to think that way, okay? Think that way, and you'll be in good company. The second thing she thinks about is how the poor think about money. Good topic. The poor think about money to be used and spent. That's what the poor think about money, is to be used and spent. You never invest it, but to be used and spent. And that's why the community that I grew up in, every Friday was a shopping day. Everybody got Friday, got paid Friday. First thing we're doing is getting dressed. You know, either you're going to the club or you're going shopping. You know, because money was designed to be spent, not invested. So we got paid Friday. We were broke Saturday, back to work Monday. You know, because it was designed to be spent. You know, and so the economy of the world is they use the poor as the foundation of consumers. Consumers, you know, you give a poor person a 70% sale. Man, like they won a lottery, you know, because they don't understand money. They don't understand how it works. They don't understand that everything is marked up 400%. Okay, so the same suit that you saw 2 weeks ago that was $450, now it's because it's Christmas, it's down $150. How you go from one the extreme to another extreme and not make money? You're in business to make money. So evidently, you didn't pay $150 for this suit or $400 for this suit. You're in business. And the poor don't understand money, so therefore money is always gone from them. Because the world economy has focused their mind on spending. I got to get the money out of your hand. You know? And so I know you're coming for six chicken wings for $2. I know you're coming. You know? Anything to get that money out of your hand. The world targets you as the poor, because the poor pay more taxes than anybody in everything, because the economists understand, the middle class and the wealthy class understand, the poor has no money value. They see money as being spent. And so he targets that and he plays on that. And that's why these people stay in that same road after 40 years of working and retiring. They retire with nothing, because they did not understand that you have to invest money and make money work for you. Or put money in the kingdom of God, sow it, so God can give you a harvest return on it. But they don't think that way. They say money gone. I was dealing with some people in our church, and I was dealing with the deception devices of the enemy, and how the enemy even set forth devices and finances against us, because this is not a play. This is not to belittle nobody, because I said to them, when you got it, you got it. Ain't nobody going to say that. You got it, you got it. You know, but when you have debt in your life and you go and buy hair for $400, you got a problem. You got a problem up here. Okay? I mean, you go into these Korean stores or whatever, hair crown, whatever they call, you know, and you go into these stores and you're spending $200 on a hairdo and buy hair to put in your hair, and you got to pay the person to put it in. So you almost got a 600 hairdo style going on, and you got a card note you can't even pay. A light bill getting ready to get cut off. You know, how you going to see it? But it's the idea, you know, it's the mindset. It's the mindset, you know, because they don't understand money. They don't understand how money works, you know. So you got to change that mindset that we have in our society, because you're eating up your future. You're eating up your kids' college scholarships. You're eating the money up for the thing they need for the future. By spending it in now, yeah. On stuff that's not going to give you no investment, no return. No return. So we have to educate our people in the kingdom how to deal with money so we can get the highest return on it. Amen. It's kingdom stewardship. It's kingdom stewardship. So when we start talking about money and you deal with poor people and they can't see investing money, saving money, they can't see that. You know, putting money where it's going to value, because they see it was taught, you use it and you spend it. The word spent means it's not coming back. It's gone. It's gone. That's why we circulate it. We don't spend. The middle class think money was designed to be managed. You manage money so you can get the best return on it. It can give you the best. You're making sure all your bills are paid every month on time, in time. Make sure everything is what's supposed to be, you know, and you manage your affairs. Your tithes, your offerings, you manage everything in your life. So make life sweatless. You have no stress. You have that anxiety of thinking about running out, because you manage money well. You manage money well. And you put money where it can work for you. But he said the wealthy think about money is to be conserved and invested. You see, that's what the wealthy thinking about, putting money where it can make more money. The Bible says every seed produced behind his own kind. You know, if you sow, you sure have a harvest. You know, so they're saying, look, take money and sow it so it can give you a harvest. Amen. so it can give you a return. So every time you get paid or whatever, you need to be able to pay yourself, take care of responsibility, and pay and reward yourself for working and earning this money and putting money back every month. You know, putting money back, so your investment, your dream, or whatever. So next time, go get a car, I pay for it cash. You know, because you think you take care of your car and manage your car for 6 years or 7 years, you know, and you get it paid for within three, and it still lasts you four more years. You don't need a, do I really need one, or do I just want one? You see, but if I'm trying to get to a certain level of status, then I'm going to say, hold on, this car is still new. I can ride it for another 3 years. What I'm going to do is the same note I was paying them people every month, I'm going to take that same note and put it back in here. So in 3 years from now, I'm going to be able to go buy me a brand new car, brand new, you know, while I still got this car, still running good. But see, it's the way you think. It's the way you think, you know. But poverty, people think different. They think different. They think it's better to go get a used tire than get a new car tire. You know, so they'll go buy them a $9 tire and try to ride all the way to Tennessee on it. Why you think that's going to make it? It don't have enough thread on it. It don't have enough value on it to get where you're going. But it's the mindset that they possess, you know. And I used to live there, so I could talk about it and laugh about it, you know, because I didn't know no better. I was doing what I saw my family do. Nobody went and bought no new brand new car. Everybody bought used cars. So when we got older, that's what we did. We started buying used cars, you know. But then I got around other people who were living better and, you know, smelling new cars and test driving new cars. Like, okay, this is better. This is better, you know. It costs a whole lot more, but the shocks are better. You know, it's like that, the air conditioning work in it. You got different stuff that goes on. That caused a value. Apostle Thompson taught me principle. You heard it teach the same principle. He says two people get on the airplane, one get in first class and one get in coach. You know, the person in coach think, you know, why I need to pay $250 more for a first class ticket when we're going the same way? We get on the same time. We get off the same time. You know, we're going the same way. They said, no, you're really not going the same way. Because the person in first class is going at a different comfort than you are. You know, they got television in first class. You don't have television back here. They get a glass to drink their Coke out. You get a cup to drink your Coke. They get a banana. You get some peanuts. So you're really not going the same way. You know, and that's the difference about life, that we're traveling, but are we traveling the same way of comfort? Money is designed to make life more comfortable when you learn to use it right and make it work for you. Okay, it makes life more comfortable. It does not make you a person that should look down on people as if they're trash, they're nobody. It's not designed for that. You know, money is designed to make life comfortable and make you an empowerment where you can be a blessing to people. You can be a blessing to people and not a survivalist seeing people don't want to bless nobody. You know, that's why God wants to empower you with more wealth and more power, wealth, so you can help change the families of the earth. It changes people's life. You can go this Christmas and buy a whole family their Christmas stuff. It changes people's life, you know, and that's why God wants you to have it. So you can do those type of miracle works that people can see. Now he's not only a God of just healing and salvation. He's a God of financial prosperity. You know, he changes all of our lives, not just part of our life. Amen. OK, so let's do one more. Let's go down and do food. Okay, so number five is going to be what the wealthy think, or the poor think about, what the middle class think about, and what the wealthy think about food. That's going to be number five, because we all go here. Okay, number five, the poor think about food as quantity more important. Quantity is more important. You see, that's what the poor think. You know, they always think about getting a lot on their plate. You know, I don't know how many of you remember here in Louisiana when Ryan's used to be here. You know, we thought we hit the jackpot, man. That's the Ruth Chris for the poor. You know, we go there on a Sunday And man, it'd be packed with Christians. Church folks. It's fact, man. And it's the idea I can keep going back as much as I want for that one price. Right. You know, and the table would be loaded, man, from one end to the other end. We bring our whole family there on Sundays. Because we can afford it, we can get a whole lot of food for it. But we wasn't thinking about the quality of food. We were thinking about the quantity of food. So the poor always think about quantity of food. They go to Winn-Dixie, one of these stores, and they look for a family pack of center cut pork chops. You know, they look for one of them value stamps on it, man. You know, it's on sale now. They got to sell it because it's going to run out. You know? So they're going to look for family values. And that's what they're going to buy. Those family buy, those deals, you know, that's what they buy because they're thinking about quantity, not the quality of the food. You know, I'm eating more, but I'm not eating healthier. You see, I'm going to get full today, but by the time I reach 55, I'm going to be a sick person. You know, why? Because the quality, because what I ate is now affecting me. You know, Dad said, that's the cow that came with the last load. He came with the last truck. You don't want him. So it's the quantity of what poor people think about food. Okay, the middle class think about the quality most important about food. It's the quality of the food. And that's why I want to get you to the point of thinking about the quality of what I'm eating. You know, so it can benefit my body. I can get the benefit of what I'm eating. That's going to produce better health and strength for my body and not sickness and disease. Okay? So you got to think about what you're shopping at. What am I buying? What am I eating at different places? You know, it may be a 4 for $5 at Popeyes, but is it quality? You know, I think Wendy's have a 4 for $4, you know. but the idea, you got to say, what am I eating? What am I eating? The quality of what I'm eating, not the price, the quality of what I'm eating. So then we deal with the rich who think about food as being presentation most important. And that's blow your mind there. Because they're not thinking about the quantity of what they're eating. They are thinking about the quality of what they're eating, but they're also concerned about how it's presented to me. How it's presented to me. You know, the plate need to be right. You know, everything need to be in its proper place. Food shouldn't be touching each other. You know, the taste should be valuable. The smell, the odor of it should be of high quality. You know, they look at the color, the texture of it. Do they have the right color texture? It's supposed to be green, not brown. You know, you get snap beans will be green. It shouldn't be brown. There's something wrong with that lettuce. You got brown and ain't green. But the idea, you know, when you're poor, you don't think about the quality. You think about, am I getting full? You know, but the rich ain't thinking about getting full. They're thinking about the presentation of how you serve this to me is more important, you know, than the amount of it. And is it healthy food for me? Okay? And so they'll get a plate, like I said, they get a filet mignon, you know, a little small piece of patty, you know, and this person took some ketchup and made some kind of design and put a couple of little flowers on there. He'll pay $75 for it. Man, this is awesome. You know? Man, this little leaf, you're not going to eat this little leaf. But he's looking at the presentation, how the chef prepared it. And presented it to him and put him in front of him. That is more important to him than a plate full of food stacked on top of each other, stuff like that, you know. So that's got to think. So the mindset is more important. So your quality of life is in your mindset. Amen. It's how you let people treat you. Amen. When you walk into a restaurant, do they have a biscuit up under the table, some paper towels under the table, and they want you to go ahead and sit down? You got to be losing your mind. Well, you're in a cheap restaurant. You ain't expect nobody to sweep that while No, yeah, I do. You know, in my process of coming to where I am, I went through that process. Because it's a mindset change. You know, we went to places that was not expensive or whatever, but the presentation had to be right because our mindset had changed. You know, and they had papers on the floor and people had left trash on the floor. And tell them, we need to come sweep this before we sit down. And they're looking at it like you're crazy. You know, we don't get paid enough to do this. Our tip's not big enough. My time is out. Thank you for yours. Enjoy your quiz. Y'all have a blessed holiday. Yeah. All right.